In the name of Jesus, amen. If you thought Easter was over, you're wrong. We've just witnessed our Lord Jesus' Easter, little Noah Willie. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, then baptism is no mere sign. Not once does the Bible ever say that baptism is just a sign or just a symbol. But rather, the Bible says that in baptism, a truly awesome thing is happening. The Bible says we have been buried with Jesus through baptism into death. So if we let the Bible speak today, then it says that Noah has just been buried with Jesus through baptism into death. Through baptism, Jesus has brought Noah into the events of Good Friday. The agony that Jesus endured in the garden, he endured for Noah. The suffering that Jesus endured, nail and thorn, he endured for Noah. The death that Jesus died, he died for Noah. So he has done for all who are baptized, for you. But of course, Good Friday is not the end of the story, nor is it the end of baptism. The Bible says that we are buried with Jesus through baptism into death. But the Bible also says that if we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall also be united with Jesus in a resurrection like his. This is what the Bible says. Baptism unites us with Jesus in a death like his. Baptism Good Fridays us. And baptism also unites us with Jesus in a resurrection like his. Baptism Easters us. Just as Jesus rose from the dead on Easter, so will Noah rise from the dead on the last day. We have just witnessed Jesus, Easter, little Noah, in the waters of holy baptism. Why does the Bible say that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins? Because baptism unites you with Jesus in his death on the cross that won your forgiveness. Why does the Bible say that baptism now saves you? Because baptism unites you with Jesus in his resurrection that saves you from death, saves you from the judgment to come. Baptism takes all that Christ has done and gives it to you as pure gift, just as it was given to little Noah. The kingdom of heaven and all that pertains to it belongs to Noah, belong to such as these. In fact, Noah is the perfect picture of God's grace. Remember how Jesus once set a child in the midst of his disciples. What could that little child boast in? What could that little child give to God? What can Noah give God? Not a thing, except for a few hiccups, maybe. Other than that, not a thing. And that is the point that is so insulting to our spiritual pride. We think that we do have something to offer God, whether it's our decision or our choice or our faith, our obedience, our cooperation, our straightened out lives that aren't really so straight. So Jesus sets a little child in the midst of his disciples, and he sets a little child named Noah in our midst today. Unless you are converted and become as little Noah, he says, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. What can little Noah give? What can you give? Not a thing. That's the point. That's grace. No, Easter is not over. Easter continues with every baptism. Easter is the reality of the resurrection given as a divine gift to you. A real flesh and blood man has defeated death and has risen from the grave. This changes everything. Jesus, who became sin for us, has triumphed over sin. Jesus, who took our death upon himself, has defeated death. And just as the Lord once led every man, woman, and child of Israel through the waters of the Red Sea, he now leads every man, woman, and child of his church through the waters of holy baptism. Or did he leave the children behind for Pharaoh? No, he took them through the waters, just as he brought little Noah through the waters this day. Holy baptism is the way that Jesus saves you, not from slavery to Pharaoh, but from slavery to Satan. Holy baptism is the way that Jesus leads you, not into Canaan to possess Abraham's land, but into the church to possess the new heavens and the new earth forever. Holy baptism is the way that Jesus leads you in the greatest exodus of all, the exodus from the grave into eternal life. He shows us the way when he rises from the dead on Easter morning. Holy baptism is the way that Jesus brings you into his Easter. Easter breaks in on us when we least expect it and least deserve it. In our gospel lesson today, we see the reality of Easter break in on the disciples of Jesus. In the darkening evening, in the upper room on the first day of the week, they hid behind locked doors. They hid in fear. Uncertainty and helplessness gripped them until the risen Jesus appears in their midst. No locked doors can keep him out. There he is in his risen body, a body that defies the physics of four walls and locked doors, but a real body nonetheless. He shows them his hands and his side. All their fear he takes away with a single word, "Peace be with you." How often uncertainty and helplessness grip us also. Sin locks the doors on us, imprisons us in guilt, imprisons us in fear, isolates us from God, isolates us from one another. In fact, earlier this very morning, we confess that we are locked into ourselves, imprisoned spiritually, imprisoned by our very nature. Most merciful God, we said together, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. Our own hands have locked these doors, and fear grips us. Fear not of those who can merely destroy the body, but fear of God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And there is nothing we can do. No 10-step sermon is going to get you out of this. No amount of really trying harder is going to get you out of this. It must be Jesus. Jesus must come into our midst. Not a spiritual Jesus, a real Jesus. Jesus in flesh and blood. Jesus with nail marks in his hands, a spear mark in his side. It is this Jesus, Jesus in flesh and blood, who promises to remain with us even to the end of the age. It is Jesus in flesh and blood who is with us when two or three are gathered in his name. Even if we can't see him, he is with us. Even if the doors are locked, he enters in. He does whatever he wants. He does what is good for us. He can make his flesh and blood go miraculously through locked doors. He can make his flesh and blood go miraculously in with and under bread and wine. This is the risen Jesus, Jesus in flesh and blood, who gives us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. Just as baptism is our journey through the Red Sea, Jesus himself is our manna, our bread from heaven. This is what Jesus' sermon in John chapter 6 is all about. His body is the bread, the manna that comes down from heaven. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink, Jesus said. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Most merciful God, we confess that we are, by nature, sinful and unclean. And there is nothing we can do. It must be Jesus. Sin has locked us in, so he must come into our midst. Guilt and fear have overtaken us, so he must speak peace. He alone has the keys to release us from sin, the keys that set us free. He alone has the keys that can unlock the dead from their graves, the keys that set us free from eternal death. Fear not, he says to St. John. He says to us, fear not. I am the first and the last, the living one. I have died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and Hades. No sooner than we confess that we are locked in sins, no sooner than we confess our fear of eternal death, Jesus comes amongst us with his keys. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven, the Lord Jesus swears. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. The keys of absolution and condemnation, the keys of eternal death and eternal life belong to Jesus, and he gives them to his apostles, and he gives them to his church. So you don't have to go around searching for that key that will release you from your guilt, release you from death, and open heaven to you, because Jesus has put that key in your pastor's mouth when he says, as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This absolution, like a key, sets you free. And you don't have to go searching for that key that will open heaven to others in your life either, because Jesus has put this very same key in your mouth. When you turn to your spouse before you go to sleep and say, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you carry God's forgiveness in your mouth and go to your families, to your workplace, to your neighborhood, and announce the forgiveness of sins, the death and resurrection of Jesus. When you open the tomb of your mouth, it is not the halitosis of death that is to come forth. When you open the tomb of your mouth, it is the risen Jesus who comes forth, the very word of life. Real sins are forgiven. Locks are opened. Fear is dispelled. When you open your mouth and speak Easter. If Easter is the reality of forgiveness, the reality of the resurrection, then Easter is never over. Our risen Lord brings Easter to Noah and to each of us in holy baptism. Our risen Lord brings Easter to us when he comes into our midst in flesh and blood, giving his flesh and blood for us, for the life of the world. Our risen Lord brings Easter to us when he uses his keys, his holy absolution, to free you from your sins, to set you free from death and Hades. No, Easter is never over. Easter has only just begun. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
In our special prayers this morning, we remember all those who are listed on the back of our bulletin. We pray for those who are sick and those who desire and need healing, for those who are deployed in the military,